another week, another weekend down, another Denver Broncos loss. Welcome to the show. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We are live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Get at us today on the text line. Got a new text line. Those of you that are already subscribed, it's okay. You're already a part of the club. You don't need to redo this thing. But it's really easy to do it if you're not. You just text KFKA to 970-478-1301. That's 970-478-1301. All right, let's begin to pack this pack this thing in here. The Broncos lose to the Chiefs. It was an impressive showing, you know, but here's the problem. My first thought when we're talking about, oh, well, they were so close. The Chiefs were, you know, they're the defending Super Bowl champs. They're 11-1, or they were 10-1 before that game. First off, Kansas City, for some reason, just plays it close. They play it close. Second, the Broncos are either getting blown out or they're losing close games to tough teams. Sooner or later, when do you stop saying, oh, well, they're almost there? I don't know, guys. I walked away from this game. They had every chance to do it defensively. You know, you held Kansas City to 22 points. And, I mean, in the first half, you were really containing Patrick Mahomes. And, I mean, Colfax, we were talking before the show, and you kind of thought something looked different with Mahomes.
Yeah, I'll say it. I have no problem saying it. Like, they'd zoom up close in on Mahomes' face, and he looked scared. He looked like, I don't know if I'm going to get out of this okay. A few times I noticed that throughout the broadcast.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to disagree, but at the end of the day, he still made the necessary passes to win. I mean, he still made those cross-body throws. I've never seen a quarterback throw it. He throws, you watch Nolan Arenado play shortstop. That's what he looks like when he throws across his body like that. It just gets there so fast. Most quarterbacks throw that, it's intercepted or at the very least incomplete. You're right. He didn't, for the first half of that game, he didn't look like Patrick Mahomes. But that's the thing with this guy, is he can be average for two quarters, maybe even three, but when he needs to the most, he finds a way to turn it on. Travis Kelce just wrecked the Broncos. Tight ends always wreck the Broncos. If you have a good tight end, they're going to wreck Denver. 8 receptions for 136 yards and a touchdown. Vic Fangio opts not to, or he opts to punt the ball back to Kansas City with, what was it, like 6 minutes left? It's 4th and 3. KJ Hamler drops it on third down. Would have been a huge first down. They would have been way downfield. Instead, he drops it. That was a good throw by Drew Lock, but didn't work out. And Fangio decides to punt it. I guess where I come from with that is you're going to have to stop Kansas City. And what you don't, the worst case, not the worst case scenario, because the worst case would have been a touchdown to put it up by two scores. But you don't want Kansas City to drive the length of the field after a punt and then get a field goal or a touchdown, right? So unless you're going to get a three and out, that's what you're hoping to do anyway. So why not go for it? And then you try to get that three and out at midfield. Instead, Kansas City drove and took off all but 1 minute of play to kick that field goal. And I would have punted it, or I would have gone for it. And here we are again with another tough decision by Vic Fangio. Would it have panned out? Who knows? We don't know that. Just like the timeouts against Tennessee. But listen, if this team's not committing serious turnovers, if Drew Lock's not committing serious turnovers, Vic Fangio has questionable calls. And you finally committed to that run game. Melvin Gordon, that was his best game I've seen. 131 yards rushing. And he actually said he slipped on 3 carries that he probably would have taken it to the house if he doesn't fall. Like he did on that one run, you know, that was on third down, and they kind of did the draw play there. So, I mean, yeah, Denver defense contained him. They made Patrick Mahomes, I mean, at the end of the day, he finished with 318 yards and a touchdown. But compared to what he normally does, you know, he's 400-plus, 2 to 3 touchdowns. So you're not wrong, Colfax. He didn't look like the same guy. The problem is you have a team in Kansas City that even if Patrick Mahomes doesn't look Superman, superhuman, they have enough weapons that are going to take you over that hump. And this Broncos offense, I mean, this is where it is again, 16 points. I mean, you look at the first drive of this game. You get a beautiful pass to Noah Fant downfield. You move already in Kansas City territory. And Drew Lock's in trouble, scrambles to avoid a sack, rolls to his left. And he has time suddenly. He bought himself some time. He's athletic enough to do that. And he just throws it. You got a defender all over. I think it was it Jerry Jeudy that he threw to on that play? And, I mean, that just killed a drive. And I'm not saying that's the difference, but it's things like that that just really weigh on you when it comes to evaluating Drew Lock. Kansas City's not the best defense in the NFL. They looked damn good last night, though. I mean, Lock was 15 of 28, two touchdowns and two interceptions. It's just that's not going to get it done in a league where, I mean, look at the scores you're seeing. Look at the quarterback stats you're seeing put up. It's outrageous, man. I mean, you're just not going to win many games like that. So, Power to Play Sports poll question is up. It's another Drew Lock question. We're not even going to do the franchise quarterback deal. I'll ask you, Colfax. Will Drew Lock be the starting quarterback game one for the Broncos next season?
Yes.
Let's see what the Hooligans say. Go to thehulshow.com to vote. Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. Will Drew Lock be the starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos next season? Do you see this team saying, you know what? It was COVID year. Yeah, he was hurt for some of it. Wow. 80% of the Hooligans say yes. You wouldn't know that from the Twitter side of things. But, I mean, I can see like, you say yes, but is it because more or less it's, well, he didn't pass, but he didn't fail, and he didn't have enough time to fail.
Yeah, I think something along that line.
That's going to be his saving grace. COVID-19 is honestly, that's going to be a lot of players and coaches' saving grace. Didn't work for Greg Williams, though, for the Jets. Wow. He gets fired today, defensive coordinator for the Jets. You're up. It's 3rd and 11. How many seconds are left in that game? Like 14? I don't know. Jets are about to get their first win of the season. And you sent the house. You blitzed everybody. And Derek Carr just throws it up to the fastest man in the NFL, arguably, in Ruggs. And Ruggs runs underneath it. Touchdown. Raiders win. Game over. You blitzed everybody. And I think it was your rookie corner was on Ruggs out there. Like, you should, like, people are on conspiracy watch saying, oh, the Jets wanted to lose that game. They want to have that number one pick. Boy, if you're Greg Williams today, you're saying that was what was happening, because there's no excuse for that call. I'm telling you, folks, though, it's getting rough. You know, you look at the Jets and they're bad. Denver's four games better than the Jets, and the disrespect is real. You know, last week they played a game without a quarterback. The NFL let that happen. Let that sink in. The NFL let a team in a league that depends so much on a quarterback. And listen, health-wise depends on a quarterback. You let this team play without a quarterback. And then Travis Kelce, we'll get to this, but whew, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, dude, somebody's got to stand up because you were absolutely disrespected. Barry Wesley for CSU, write that name down, because he saw one of his guys getting punked on the side, actually kind of a defender for San Diego State, was like wrenching at his leg, and Wesley goes over and knocks that guy to the ground. And that's, at some point you want somebody that's going to stand up. And I tell you, man, You had a situation yesterday where not only did you lose, you get disrespected twice. And Tyreek Hill, that touchdown didn't count, but that was rough. Colfax, let's jump over to the good, the bad, the ugly. Well, the good, I mean, does it get much better than what the Colorado Buffaloes are doing? The Buffs are now 4-0. They are ranked. They're at number 22. And Jarek Broussard ran for 301 yards on the ground. Are you kidding me?
And Colorado starting from their own 5. Here's a big run right away. Jarek Broussard. Can anyone catch him? Broussard flips the tackle, stops up, and is finally hauled down. Finally got him after 75 yards.
He has 733 yards on the year and three touchdowns. I've never seen anything like this. This guy is a monster of men. And what's crazy about it, Colfax, is we started the season talking about Alex Fontenot saying, wow, without him, you know, maybe this run game's not going to be, you know, not going to be as good. He's breaking records left and right. It's mind-boggling, folks. And the Colorado Buffaloes are out of this world. It is so much fun to watch. And I 300 yards rushing? Are you kidding me? Colorado, 4-0. I think Carl Durrell should be the coach of the year. There's no question about it in my mind. The bad? Yeah, Denver, you gave it your all. You came close, but at the end of the day, you lost to Kansas City. No clip. All right, on to the ugly. Well, the ugly was you add something to this. Here's Travis Kelce. No, we don't have that. Travis Kelce talking. I think we have gremlins. Travis Kelce's talking after the game about the, you know, they're asking him post-game questions and such. And ultimately, he shucks the reporter and starts talking about the Raiders. I mean, we have that clip, but we'll see if we can get that for you at some point. So Travis Kelce saying, hey, hats off to the Raiders. And that's got to be, what was he thinking there? He tipped his hat to the Raiders, not the Broncos. Did he forget who he was playing? The Broncos don't have his respect, so he doesn't even know what their name is. He says, we've just got to go finish strong. Hats off to the Raiders. They've done an unbelievable job the past two games of presenting a challenge on third down and in the red zone. It is what it is. We've got to keep fighting. Hats off to the Raiders, says Travis Kelce. And then Tyreek Hill. The touchdown that wasn't, he had a couple of those. It was called back ultimately, but he catches it and he backs into the end zone. Not a defender in sight. Stands there for several seconds before he crosses the goal line. And to cross the goal line, he does a backflip. I mean, disrespect running wild from the Kansas City Chiefs. And man, do you remember when Terrell Owens was playing for the 49ers and he ran into the middle of the Dallas Cowboys star and somebody ran after him? I mean, come on. That's what I want to see. I'm not like, well, maybe I am. You're going to get disrespected. Somebody needs to go up and give that guy a shoulder. That's it. At least his shoulder. Get in his face. Wow. B-Rad. We all thought it was going to be a blowout, so it was even harder to swallow having the ball with a chance to win, and Drew throws another terrible pick. Your quarterback's not putting you in the right position. Ever. I mean, it's time after time, you're in a difficult spot, and you just don't have the right quarterback, folks. Dixon says, oh my, I think frustrated might be a little better word than scared. Come on, fellas. What was it then? Your MVP was, you know, was average. Yesterday. He was average.
I meant scared.
Yeah. Denver's defense is good, Dixon. I don't care. You've got your John Elway dark glasses on. You sit in your, you know, you have your, you know, your what are those dolls called? And you poke the needles in the doll for John Elway. I get it. You hate it. You hate the Broncos. This defense is good. They held your Kansas City Chiefs to 22 points. A team that is used to scoring, you know, 35, 33, 34, 43 is the last time they played the Broncos. And so this defense is good. And they didn't even have Bryce Callahan. And so that's what's even more frustrating, is this defense has kept Denver in more games and almost won those games, but you do not have the quarterback, and I know that he's young. I guess the question is, when you start looking at the way this team is made up, like, are the Broncos that bad of a team? I mean, they're 4-8. 4-8, to me, if you just look at that, that's a bad team. I mean, you look at Washington, the Washington football team, they're 4-7. You think, okay, they're not a good team. The Falcons are 4-8. They have a nice offense. They can move up and down when they need to, but overall. They just haven't been able to put it together. They're a bad team. The Bears are a bad team. Are the Broncos a bad team, or do they just have a couple of areas where they're really, really bad? Mainly head coach. Mainly that quarterback position. And you guys, I know you're already, Vic Fangio, this is the reason why they're keeping him. You're seeing it. This defense, this, no. That's not the reason why they're keeping him. That's the reason why he's never been a head coach. That's the reason why he's always had a job as a defensive coordinator. He's damn good at coordinating defense. But when it comes to head coaching calls, he doesn't make the right calls. Should have went for it on fourth down. You don't give the Chiefs the ball back. I don't care if you were making stops against Kansas City. I mean, the Chiefs are great in those positions. I'll give you this, Dixon. Scared, frustrated or not, when it's winning time, Patrick Mahomes, it doesn't matter how he looked three quarters before. It doesn't look how he looked 90% of the game before. When it's winning time, Patrick Mahomes becomes an MVP. You know, throwing across his body, keeping plays alive. It's frustrating when you walk away from this one today. First Advantage text line, 31996. 31996. Dixon says, scared. Okay, yeah, the Super Bowl MVP was shaking in his cleats. If you're 7-4, maybe you punt on fourth down, but when you're 4-7, you have nothing to lose. Yeah, you go for it. You go for it. You don't put it in the best quarterback on the planet's hands. Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback on the planet. And you're going to give him the ball with 6 minutes left? You have the football in your possession. It's fourth down. Go for it. You have nothing left to lose. And Vic Fangio decides to go for it, or decides to punt it. Denver comes up with the big stop. But Kansas City can, dude, we can see Kansas City be numb for 30 minutes, for an hour. And then suddenly, you saw them against the Raiders. You saw them when they decide it's winning time, they just turn it on. I've always said it. They're the Golden State Warriors of the NFL. Golden State could be down 20 with 5 minutes in their heyday. When it was Curry, Klay Thompson, and Kevin Durant, they could be down 20 with 5 minutes, and that lead is not safe. That's Kansas City. You have an option to keep the football. You're 4-7. It doesn't matter if you lose. You take the shot. I don't like this text, Dixon. I don't like this text. That game was not as close as the score indicated. Then why did the Broncos have a shot with a minute left to go down and win it? If the Broncos would have won, would you have said the same thing? Wait, that score, that win wasn't as much of a win as indicated. That doesn't make, I don't buy it. Yes, there was a touchdown that was pulled away by Hill, but hey, it kind of looked funky though. That touchdown pass in the end zone, like he comes back and they said it should have been a touchdown or whatever. On the broadcast, I couldn't really tell. You have the other one? Yeah. Yeah, when he does his backflip, yeah.
Blitz coming. Mahomes, deep downfield for Hill, makes the catch, and he goes eventually for the touchdown, but he does a little backflip, but I think with a flag down, they're going to bring it back.
Yeah, see, you got to take some personal, some pride in that now, this morning. You got to be frustrated. I saw Jerry Jeudy tweeted out. It got deleted, I guess. He tweeted out at 1 in the morning. Hey, at least I got my cardio in for the game. I think he only had one catch. Well, you have Travis Kelce? We weren't able to get that one. We'll see if we can find that one. That's what the NFL thinks of you. Roger Goodell doesn't think you need a quarterback to play. The Chiefs don't even know who the hell you are anymore. And I don't care. It was a close game. I don't walk away with a moral victory. It's been too damn long. Denver's been too damn bad for too damn long, and it's getting frustrating. 24 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. When we come back, I'll sidestep, but look at CSU San Diego State. What do you take away from this season for the Rams? New coach, COVID, investigations, all these things. There's one common theme we can pick up, and it's a pretty scary one, and we'll get to that when we come back. It's the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios.
You're listening to The Hall Show, powered by PDC Energy and 1310 KFKA. Brady will be back after the break. Dan Patrick, The Hull Show, and Colin Cowherd are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Offense we've become accustomed to, red zone offense in the first half, kind of dismal. What happened?
We just got to finish strong. I mean, hats off to the Raiders. They've done an unbelievable job the past two games of, you know, presenting a challenge on third downs and in the red zone. I mean, it is what it is.
There's Travis Kelce. Kind of lost who he was talking about there. The Raiders. No, it's the Broncos, but I can understand it. Wow. I mean, you got to wake up today if you're a Broncos player and take this game, man, and use it. Use it for the rest of the season. But we've been saying that all year about the offense. I mean, defensively, this team's good. And week after week they're replacing a star, one of their stars. This defense is good. Vic Fangio's a brilliant defensive mind. No question about it. First Advantage text line. Text us. It's our new text line. 970-478-1301. 478-1301. If you're new texter, text KFKA to that number first. Green Acres. No, I saw it. I agree. Barry Wesley reacted to disrespect dirty play properly when he shoved the San Diego State safety. No, I saw it. Yeah, I was agreeing. I was saying that the Broncos need a player like that to defend. To defend, guys. You know, I think absolutely 100%. Now, as far as that touchdown that wasn't a touchdown with Tyreek Hill, was it a touchdown? I don't know, man. That's tough. Tyreek Hill didn't think he caught it. Like, I've never seen a receiver not, like, there he is, it's moving around, it's bobble, it's up in the air, comes down, lands, but he never had control of it. It's still flopping around there, and then Boye pulls his hand in and drills it out. So, did he ever have full control of that football? I don't know that he did. I mean, if Boye doesn't end up pulling it out of there late, then maybe, but Tyreek Hill didn't think he caught that ball. I mean, there it is. It's on his, like, elbow. He caught it with a crook of his elbow, but it was still moving. And Tyreek Hill had no clue. He had no idea. He didn't think he caught it. So that one's wacky. I've never seen anything quite like it. That was nuts. Oh, boy. But Colorado State, San Diego State, we'll get to more of that. I want to hear from Coach Addazio. Get this. Not one, not two, not three, not four, but five special teams touchdowns scored against Colorado State in two games. And Steve Addazio is the special teams coach as well. So clearly, now he's kind of saying, hey, it's personnel. I get it. I do. If that's the issue, if it's personnel and you don't have the right guys in there, but it's hard for me to buy it because I go back to that Boise State game and one of the best special teams players in the conference. You don't block twice. That I don't know if that's a personnel. I mean, if he would have got blown by and at least tried to block him, different. But nobody looked at him. But what do you really take from this season for Colorado State? New coach. Okay. Well, I tweeted this and I had someone respond and say, well, doesn't seem to be an issue for CU. No, you're doing the straight up comparison. The bottom line is if there's going to be bad teams, Colfax, there's going to be good teams, whether it's COVID or not. Every team has to go through it. I understand it. Maybe Carl Durrell is just that good. Maybe he just makes sense for CU. Maybe this is just working out for them. You know, in Arizona, let's face it, that wasn't. And then they played San Diego State last week. They beat them. I'm not going to take anything away from Carl Durrell. You're right. I think he's overachieving. I absolutely do. That's not like a knock on him. Nobody expected this from CU. Nobody did. I expected 2 to 3 wins for CSU. So, I mean, and they didn't play, what, three of them so far? So, I mean, they're not that far off of what I would have predicted. So, I'm not saying Addazio is going to be the guy. I just, all I'm saying is, you can't really take anything away from this season. You know, if it's good, then neat. Like for CU, I'm pumped for them. I think it's awesome. But does this mean CU has arrived now and they're going to be a consistent Pac-12 contender now once we get into a real regular season? No. And again, you, the matchup's great. You know, they've won some good games. Arizona wasn't a very good team, and San Diego State was a decent Mountain West team. So I'm going to be happy about it. The worst they can do is go 4-1. They got Utah this week, and that's awesome. It's amazing. That's why I think Carl Durrell should be coach of the year for several reasons. But I mean, it doesn't. I'm not walking away going, "Oh, all right, now the Buffs are going to be a fixture in this thing." But I mean, Jared Broussard, that guy's a monster. All right, 35 minutes after the hour, I'm going to take a quick break. Let me tell you about this though. Red Wing Shoes. Write it down. I got the location in Greeley and the location in Johnstown by Shields. I'm giving away a free pair of boots. In fact, two free pair of boots. One from Greeley location, one from Johnstown. You can register both. All you got to do is walk in, look for the bright red sled there, and it'll show a picture of Red Wing Shoe, the Red Wing Shoes logo, and all you got to do is sign up. You can just walk in, sign up, and leave if you want to. You know, I'd rather you, you know, check it out, give a shout out, show some respect to a great local business, but stop in, sign up, and you could have a chance to win a pair of boots valued at $250. We are giving this away, local odds. So, Hooligans, do me a favor. When you're out and about, stop by the location in Greeley and the location in Johnstown. Register at both to increase your odds. 36 minutes after the hour, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams. You're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
I will say the Tyreek Hill, no touchdown, whatever, that was the weirdest looking catch or no catch. But here's the thing. You guys, you can't cry about it, Chiefs fans. You didn't challenge it. So you can't cry about it. You could have challenged it. You didn't. If there was doubt, you should have challenged it. You missed it. All right. Joining me now, Mark Knutson, contributor for WoodyPage.com, puts together our Three Strikes blog on 1310KFK.com. Mark, my friend, the Tyreek Hill catch or wasn't a catch or what the hell was it? That was the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
Well, you know, people should know this is our interviews are kind of like a political debate. I don't get the questions ahead of time.
So that's true.
I have no prep time.
You have no prep time.
And I've seen that play over and over again, although I'm one of the many people that had to watch the game in Spanish last night.
Me too, yeah.
It was interesting. I was kind of expecting to hear go a couple times. It didn't, but that was bizarre in that they have so many camera angles that the coaches have to have, even if the referee's on the wrong side, he's on the wrong side of the play and couldn't see it, which is understandable. But, why don't we challenge that? A veteran coach like Andrew, you know, if that had been Vic Fangio, we would have just said, yeah, that's kind of the way it's going with him as a head coach.
Right.
You know, as a head coach, Vic Fangio makes a hell of a defensive coordinator. But some of these game decisions are not good. Something we probably said, yeah, that's kind of par for the course. Andy, you don't expect something like that to ever happen.
Yeah, well, I mean, Tyreek Hill didn't even think he caught it. I mean, he walked off like, oh, whoops. I mean, Chiefs fans are crying today saying, oh, we should have been up by way more, and we gave the Broncos, we kept them in that game. Yeah. You could have fixed it. You could have fixed it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's rules in place to save that. So,
I don't have any sympathy for fans of an 11-1 team. Do you?
I have zero sympathy. I have zero sympathy.
If they lost the game, it's still self-inflicted. But if they had lost it, you can understand the griping. Why now you're griping because they didn't cover?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Tyreek Hill, though, keeping it on Tyreek, the other touchdown that wasn't, he backs away, flips into the end zone. Listen, I'm not saying guys should go out and brawl, but I wouldn't mind seeing a Broncos guy run up there and say something to him. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's why they put in the no celebrating thing for stuff like that.
Right.
And then they completely took it away. There should be some middle ground, shouldn't there? I mean, guys spike the ball or do something, or especially run off the playing field on the sidelines and do something. That's fine, whatever. College still penalizes that, but excessive celebration, but that's an excessive celebration. Get in the end zone and then celebrate. You know, get in the end zone and then backflip or whatever, but. That was low class. It was low budget. And you could see They don't play again this season, but you could see somebody taking a crack at him when the time is right. You know, a defensive back getting to blow him up, or a linebacker getting to block him, or something like that. Because that was Bush League.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, the Broncos, they sure feel like one of the most disrespected teams in the NFL right now. I mean,
there's no doubt.
Yeah, we could argue all day about Drew Locke and the mask and all that stuff from last week, but bottom line is the NFL was perfectly okay with Denver suiting up with no quarterbacks.
Right.
Then you have Travis Kelce calling them the Raiders. You have Tyreek Hill doing backflips before he's even in the end zone. The Broncos, it just feels like they're the most disrespected team. It probably won't change until you have an owner.
That's right. It all starts at the top. It all starts with somebody, and not just an owner, the right person. You know, people say, well, let's get Jeff Bezos to buy the Broncos. Jeff Bezos has a million things going on. Is he going to give his attention to the Denver Broncos? No, he's not. He can't. You got to have somebody like Pat Bowles who could give their attention to their team. Now, in the case of the Cronkies, Stan's got other things, but he put Josh in charge, and Josh got up to a terrible start with the whole George Karl thing, but it's smoothed out now, and he's doing a good job now. Staying in the background, he's not out being the face of the team, like Pat Bowlen was not the face of the team, but it's strong leadership at the top, and that is horribly missing for the Broncos right now. We don't want to say, not pointing to the fact that Joe Ellis and John Elway both had COVID, and that obviously, I mean, reading the accounts of Joe Ellis, it was pretty serious with Joe Ellis. So you wish them the best of luck health-wise, but the NFL is tired of it. You can tell by their statements they're tired of it. The Bowlen family, at least Beth Bowlen, her statement says she's tired of it. Something's got to happen. And it will, I think. The court's got to sign off on now because the court case has been extended. It was supposed to be done. I've written extensively on this for Westward. I invite people to go read my stories on Westward because I wrote last December about this situation. I got told that by local sports, oh, that's not true. Brittany Bowlen, no. Brittany Bowlen was never, ever a candidate for this job. It was a farce from the beginning. It was a ploy for Joe Ellis to stay employed because obviously Beth Bowlen is on the other side of the table in the courtroom. She'd get rid of him if she had a chance. That's clear, right? So Joel wants to stay employed. He wants to keep his job. So he's going to parade a 30-year-old out there. And according to my sources, and I had seven impeccable sources for these articles, Pat Bowlen mandated in his will that a future owner had to be 40 years old. Did Joel think he's going to string this along for 10 more years? You know, suck on the gravy train for 10 more years? No, this has been horribly handled by the trustees. Court's going to decide if these trustees are even in a position to make these decisions. And that was supposed to happen on September 1st, and now it can't happen. Probably it's undecided what's going to happen until people are able to congregate in courtrooms again. Not sure. I'm still trying to find out if a settlement can be reached and the court can sign off on it. The trustees, here's the bizarre point. The trustees are the ones who can decide when to sell and who to sell to. The children have no say-so in that. The seven Bowlen children have no say-so in who the next owner of the Broncos is. It's all up to Jaws and the trustees. That doesn't give you a lot of faith. That's a little scary.
It is a little scary, and I guess that's the one thing. You know, we do, and rightfully so, Pat Bowlen, one of the greatest men, one of the greatest owners, you know, in sports history, to be honest. But there's no question with the will and the way it was all set up, that's where people wondered, you know, if it was a little bit more clear after that, outside of the trust, would we be in this situation?
Well, Pat Bowlen, the first size of mine, again, seven sources, some people you'd all recognize, told me Pat Bowlen was diagnosed with Alzheimer's in 2006. In 2009 is when the trust was changed, and that's the point of contention in the courtroom. Was he of clear mind when he made the change and put the trustees in charge? Some of the family members say no, he was not. A lot of people outside the family say no, he was not. So the trustees may not win the court case, which would remove their ability to make the sale. So that's what's all in limbo right here. It's when, who can sell it? Who has the authority to sell the Broncos and all that? They're going to be worth, what, $3 billion, something like that? It's an astronomical amount of money. That obviously narrows the group of contenders. But you've got to hope you find somebody who's devoted to this is my job. This is what I do. This is, you know, Mark Cuban before he became Mr. Shark Tank guy when he was sitting courtside at the Mavericks games. You know, that's the kind of owner you want. Steve Ballmer, that's the kind of guy you want. Passionate about his team. You don't want some corporation who's going to rubber stamp things and tell John Elway, if John Elway's still around, and I seriously doubt he's around after 2021, based on everything I've heard. I think he's done after 2021. But the general manager, let the general manager run it, but somebody's got to be accountable. Accountability is sadly lacking in that place.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably time, Mark, with John Elway. Yep. It's tough to say it, but, you know, you're in the worst stretch ever. I mean, in the history of the Broncos organization, you can't just say, oh, we're young. I mean, we're getting tired of it. You can't keep it. Yeah. And the other thing is your head coach is not young. So even if you are building, how long is Vic Fangio going to be, you know, at that head coach level? I mean, some guys can go into their 70s, sure, but it's fairly unlikely.
I still think Vic Fangio is just another Wade Phillips, like I said before. I think he's a great DC who's going to stabilize things, but 8-8's a ceiling kind of thing. 8-8's where he's going to get this thing to. Then you got to go out and find a Cliff Kingsbury, a Kyle Shanahan, a Sean McVay type to take this team to the next level. And along with obviously having that premier quarterback, we're not sure if Drew Lock's going to be that guy. Me personally, I'd like to see John Elway stay involved with the Broncos as, honest to God, a golf-playing figurehead. Just be the vice president in charge of smiling. And be the guy who's the face of the franchise, because he is the face of the franchise, and he will be for a long time. So let him be part of it, but let the general manager's decisions be given to somebody like Chris Ballard, who most people have never heard of, but is a spectacular general manager of the Indianapolis Colts, who's done a great job in that role. That's the kind of GM we need here.
Mark, before we go, Colorado State, they lose to San Diego State. More special teams issues for Steve Addazio. But seriously, love Addazio, hate Addazio, whatever. How much can you fairly and realistically take from this season with Colorado State?
Nothing. This season's all – I called it a farce. I said the other day it's a farce, and it's getting farcier every week. You know, you don't play in 22 days, and then you got to – I mean, it's ridiculous. You go, this is I've equated this college football season to an NFL exhibition season. That's what it is. It's fun to watch. You can learn things, and you're looking for progress. But you can't take results away. But if I'm Colorado State, if I'm Steve Addazio, I'm hiring a special teams coach.
Yes. I think that's the only takeaway.
I'm hiring a special teams coach because that's one third of the equation, field position the whole bit. You got a great punter, probably the best punter in America, and everything else on special teams has been awful. Well, place kicking's been okay, but the coverage has been awful. And you can't win football games that way, whether it's returns for scores or just field position. You can't win games that way, and that's a big problem for them. They've got to get fixed.
Yeah, no question about it. And that's the obvious takeaway there. Mark, appreciate you, man. We'll check out your Three Strikes blog, and we'll catch up with you next week.
All right, take it easy. See you.
All right, 10 minutes till the top of the hour. I want to get to Steve Addazio a little bit more coming up in the next segment. We'll talk about that, get his thoughts on special teams. And there was another quarterback change. So, Colorado State apparently had that planned all along. Let's talk about that coming up. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios.
Are you ready for some football? Monday Night Football is right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. No code now. Weekdays at 4 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Dan Patrick. You're listening to my pal, Brady Hall. Check out the Hall Show on Northern Colorado's football station, 1310 KFKA.
Shout out to Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service. Services as unique as life. Another motto there, live well, plan ahead. Give Scott Robin or a member of their great staff a call today. Talk to them about pre-planning. It truly is an amazing gift. They work with FEMA and many of our nation's disasters. 9/11, of course, when that disaster happened in NYC, Hurricane Katrina and the Joplin tornado. Their website is mosierfuneralservice.com. Dixon says, nobody's crying. It was just a weird play when even the receiver didn't think he's caught it. I mean, look at Chiefs Twitter, though, man. I'm not necessarily calling you out on that, but look at Chiefs Twitter. I mean, oh, we should have been blowing you out, but it didn't. I mean, come on. You have the ability to challenge a play. You have that ability. That's your own fault that you didn't challenge the play, if there was any doubt in your mind. Sounds like you guys are crying about the celebration. How about this? Maybe try to stop him. I don't care if it's your team, my team, if it's a team I'm watching with as a neutral fan. That's a joke. You back into the end zone, you stop at the goal line, and you flip and you do a backflip. You're being clowned, man. You're being clowned. Go score your touchdown, then do your backflip. I'm all for celebrations. I love celebrations. But when Terrell Owens ran to the Dallas Cowboys star, I mean, don't get me wrong. I like that it created some blood. And listen, Broncos, this team's damn good. I don't see how you're going to really compete with them in the next year, but we'll see. But take that personally. Let it build inside of you for the next year until you get set to take on Kansas City again. I don't care if it's Tyreek Hill or Jerry Jeudy. It's ridiculous. And if you're a Chiefs fan, you should be embarrassed by that. Second hour coming up next.